I'm Liz Corey.
And I'm Katie King.
And this is
True Crime New England,
Case Profiles Edition.
Hello, welcome back to another mini episode.
Thank you for joining us on our 25th case profile. We are so glad to have you here. Katie, aren't you just so excited? It's our 25th case profile.
That's crazy. That means 50 cases that we've covered so far.
And I think that's fantastic. For those of you who don't know, our case profiles, as we say every single time we do a case profile, our goal is to spread awareness about cases of people of color, whether it be an abduction or murder or a suspicious death. Usually they are unsolved. Sometimes they are solved. Regardless, our goal is to spread the word about these cases as they do not get enough media attention within the community, the nation. A lot of people have never heard of these cases. I've never heard of these cases. So our goal is to spread awareness. The unsolved ones, get the numbers out there, have people think back to the time if they were there, anything like that. It's very obvious that there is a disparity among people of color and how their cases are handled. So we just love to give as much attention as we can in any way we can for these people. If we can, we usually will try and do a full episode, and that's great. If we can't, we come here for the case profiles. If we can't even do that, we post it on our Instagram and our website. So some way, somehow, we are getting these stories out there.
Absolutely. And the way that we tell you guys these cases is Liz will research a case separately, I'll do a case separately, and then we come together and tell not only you guys, but each other about these cases. So sometimes you guys might hear us being like, wow, that's crazy. Holy shit. No way. That's insane. I can't believe that. That's all genuine.
Yeah.
Because while we pull these cases from a big master list, we really don't know much about them until we come together and record. So we all are kind of learning together, which I think is cool.
I think so too. And it's definitely a good way to offer some authenticity and practice our storytelling, really, if you think of it. And as you would have it, today, Katie, it is your turn to tell us your case profile first.
Sure. So I will be telling you, Liz, and our lovely listeners about the unsolved murder of Benin Timothy.
Okay.
My sources today are Boston 25 News, The Boston Globe, and WBUR.org, Last Seen, which is a show about people who have gone missing or just underrepresented in the Boston area.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Benin Timothy was born on April 5th, 1980, in the beautiful coastal town of Petit-Goave in Haiti.
Oh.
She was one of six children.
Mm.
And she would go into the city and sell really anything she could, sometimes jewelry, sometimes t-shirts, really just whatever she was able to get her hands on. She met her husband, actually, when they were both working in the city, and they started their family just a couple years later.
Oh.
Fast forward to July of 2016, now 36-year-old Benin had come to Boston from Lacaille, Haiti, with her husband, Andre, and their two children, 13-year-old Nalissa and 12-year-old Jeffty. They lived in the Dorchester area of Massachusetts. Benin and the kids had moved there pretty recently to join Andre. Andre himself had come over in 2008 to get established, you know, start saving some money, work, and send money back to Benin and the two kids.
That's very typical of immigrants.
Yeah.
Especially, I don't know if it's everywhere, but in this area, I see that at my hospital as well, which I think must be so hard because they're so they're separated for so long. So that must have been tough for them.
I know. I can't even imagine.
Wow.
The couple had hoped that their kids would be able to attend a good college in a few years. I mean, Massachusetts is known for some of the best colleges in the country.
Absolutely.
And Dorchester also had a very vibrant Haitian community. So even though they were in New England, the weather is very much not like Haiti at times. There is a very solid Haitian community. I think one of the largest Haitian communities in New England is in the Dorchester area. So while they were very far from home, they were still able to have that sense of community, which I think is beautiful.
That is really nice.
Andre was working full-time for a cleaning agency, and Benin had been working part-time as a house cleaner. Andre had also encouraged her to take English classes because she eventually wanted to go to nursing school.
Oh.
Their primary language was Creole, so while Benin was able to pick up, you know, a couple of words and phrases, he really wanted her to go and take classes so she could have an easier time and just a better overall time when she did eventually go to nursing school. That was her goal.
Right.
Andre stated, quote, "She wasn't someone who was super talkative, but very happy. She was just a very nice person."
Aww.
Just 3 months later, after she and her two beautiful children moved to a different country, right, to Massachusetts, on Saturday, October 29th, Andre hadn't heard from Benin and she never came home. After calling her several times, she didn't answer. Andre then called a friend's house where Benin was supposed to have gone. And then her friend said, yeah, that's crazy. I'm not sure. Benin never showed up.
Oh, no.
The friend and Andre went to police, and this is when Andre learned of a shooting that had happened nearby.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Benin had been walking on Washington Street in Dorchester on her way to her friend's house. Mm-hmm. She made a quick stop by SKB's, which is a local corner store, where she went to buy international calling cards.
Okay.
So she could talk to her family back in Haiti.
Sure.
She got out of the store, turned right to continue to her friend's house, and then gunshots were fired. She was fatally shot outside of the corner store and also across the street from the community center where she was learning English.
Oh, my God.
Benin died after being rushed to a nearby hospital. There was actually another bystander, a 15-year-old boy, that was shot.
Oh.
His injuries were not as serious, and police believe that the 15-year-old boy was actually the intended target.
Really?
Yeah. The boy's father says that this is a good kid. He's a good kid. Mm-hmm. He also was in the wrong place at the wrong time, but police think that the 15-year-old boy was the target, and then as the perpetrator, or perpetrators plural, mm-hmm, were aiming to shoot the 15-year-old boy, Benin came out of the store.
Now, this question. Do you know anything about the 15-year-old boy?
No.
I was going to say, is he African-American as well? Or a person of color?
I would bet money.
Yeah.
I would bet money.
Ugh.
The family had survived the absolutely devastating earthquake in Haiti in 2010.
I was thinking about that. I was wondering if they were there for that.
Yeah. So how stressful, because Andre came over to Massachusetts in 2008.
Right.
He's like, I'm going to get us a house. I'm going to save money, send money back. And then just him not being able to know if they're okay for that long of a period of time. Like, thank God they were all okay.
Right.
But imagine your family survives an insane earthquake. Like, that earthquake was devastating.
Devastating, yeah.
And then you come here, you're settled, you're with your husband. It's been 8 years, yeah, and you're with your husband. You know, you're so excited. You have a little bit of a community where you're at. Yeah, the weather sucks and it's freezing, but, you know, you're here. You, yeah, have your family's reunited.
Yeah.
And then 3 months after you move your family here, you're shot in the, yeah, street.
That's awful.
How typical of fucking America. I'm sorry.
Like, true.
Come on.
Very true, though.
Andre stated, quote, "I'm not interested at all in them finding the suspect because that won't get me anywhere with raising the kids."
Oh, he's telling it like it is.
For sure.
Oh, how awful.
Police and lawyers used Benin's children as interpreters to help with the investigation instead of letting them be kids and process their emotions and grief.
Oh.
Melissa stated, quote, "I don't think it was fair to use us to kind of, like, interpret and stuff." Mm. Jeff D. then stated, "Yeah, I think they knew what they were doing. They were kind of relying on us on purpose because they knew we couldn't do anything about it. I'm guessing that's why they did that."
Wow.
Melissa said, quote, "I feel like they will never pay attention to us because, I don't know, I feel like we're immigrants. We come here. It's not our country. And we're Black. There's racism. I learned this in school.
Oh.
I learned this the hard way, too. There's systemic racism here. So I know deep down we're not really going to get anything from them. So I don't really have a question. But just for my dad's sake, I just want him to, like..." And then this is during the interview,
uh-huh,
the WBUR.org interview that I was looking at.
Yeah.
And then Jeff D. then comes in, finishes her sentence, and says, "Put this to rest. We want to put this to rest."
Oh, those poor kids. That's awful.
Yeah. So for police to use these children as interpreters, like, just for us working in healthcare, that was one of the first things. If you have a patient,
mm-hmm,
with a family member and you don't speak that patient's language, they're not speaking your language primarily, do not use that family member to interpret.
No.
Like, it's inappropriate.
Yep.
Let them be a patient.
Yeah.
Let the family member be there for support. Like, mm-hmm, you don't use two children who are, they've been in this country for 3 months. Let, right, them process that alone, let alone their mother barely being settled here. They probably barely unpacked boxes and she was shot in the street.
Ugh.
Jeff D. is now a freshman in college studying criminal justice because, wow, quote, "somebody's got to make a difference."
Oh, that gave me chills.
I know.
Ugh.
There have been no arrests and no suspects identified in the murder, and the case has gone cold. Anyone with any information on the murder of Benin Timothy is asked to please call the Boston Police Department. The phone number is 617-343-4633.
Wow.
And that is the atrocious, unsolved murder of Benin Timothy.
That's just so fucking terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And using the kids as interpreters, I have the same thought as you, Katie, like with healthcare. That's a big no-no for so many reasons. Patient care, they could be translating like biased things and, you know, understanding what you're saying and changing it. And it's just to run a police investigation based off of, you know, 13-year-old night, whatever. That's just, it's not appropriate or the correct way of doing things.
Right. And I guarantee you that it, within the huge entity that is the Boston Police Department, you're telling me there's not one officer, there's not one expert, there's not one interpreter you could dial in that would speak Creole. Creole is a pretty common language.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that obsolete and that,
no,
you know, crazy that someone, especially in Boston, Massachusetts, Dorchester.
Huge Haitian population.
Thank you. There's someone out there that should be able to interpret, that would speak Creole, that would be able to help in the investigation.
100%. Wow.
Yeah.
They really bungled that.
Of course, right? I know. Just how? My mind is blown that, you know, someone is here in the country for 3 months and then you're murdered, gunned down in the street. How typical.
Come on. Welcome to America, kids.
Yeah, seriously.
It's awful.
Seriously, there's your welcome gift. Like, come on.
Truly.
It's so sad.
That's awful.
Liz.
Yes.
What awful story do you have now to tell us?
I have another story that takes place in Massachusetts.
Okay.
And to nobody's surprise, it involves guns.
Oh, yeah.
Haha. Wow. Plot twist to no one. I'm going to be telling you about the murder of Bernadette DePina. My sources today include two articles from the South Coast Today, which I'm growing very fond of as we do Massachusetts cases, and also the Boston Globe. So, on May 25th, 2006, police received a call that reported a, quote, unresponsive female at an Ash Street home in New Bedford, Massachusetts. Inside, they found the body of 49-year-old Bernadette DePina. She had been shot to death. Surprise! Wait until I tell you about Bernadette, because she sounds like the most lovely woman. A nearby neighbor claimed that he heard something that could have been a gunshot, but he thought maybe it could have been a firecracker. It was hard to tell, but it was at 2:15 a.m.
Oh, come on.
So he kind of was like, that was probably a gunshot. And it was, you know, what are the people celebrating with a firecracker on May 5th at 2 a.m.? You know, like, it was just like, I wish it was a firecracker. Your mind tells you, oh, it's probably a firecracker. Unfortunately not. Bernadette DePina, affectionately known as Bunny,
Aww. Yeah,
had a big personality and was described as being passionate, creative, and she had an air of holiness to her, to put it into words. Bernadette was a huge part of her church, and she actually did many things to better her community and those around her. She was a lecturer at Our Lady of the Assumption, and Bernadette also taught religious education and even did prison ministry at the Bristol County House of Correction. So she was very into spreading the word of God and being, you know, very active and helping her community as best she could.
Wow.
Which I feel like half the time is the case with these stories.
What the fuck?
And mine's a twofer, I'll tell you. And you'll just wait. Whiplash. According to Bernadette's husband, David, she was a, quote, retreat queen, and she loved to go on spiritual getaways. Like, if there was any, like, nearby, she was signed up immediately. She loved that stuff, which is so cute, so fun. She just liked being a part of the community.
Yeah.
Which is nice. A large part of Bernadette's life involved being an advocate for preventing gang violence, and she, this was mostly, like, around the city, but in general, and she spread a lot of love on troubled youth. She is quoted as preaching, "Those we demonize by calling them thugs and gangs, don't label them. Love them. They are our children." I know, right? Unfortunately, this has an air of irony to it, and I hate that it does. 4 days before she was found murdered, Bernadette's 23-year-old son, David Crunchy DePina II, I guess his nickname was Crunchy, which I have questions about that, but that's not important right now. He was actually charged with the shooting and killing of a 20-year-old man 4 days before. David was a known gang member and had been getting into some shady shit lately, and I think as a result of that, is it a coincidence that 4 days later, your mom dies in a gun, like a home invasion, is she shot to death? You know? Apparently, Bernadette knew of David's lifestyle and tried so hard to put a stop to it. Of course, it's her son. She knows how that goes. Her friend says she loved her son to no end and she did not condone anything he did wrong. Another friend said, some kids you can reach and some kids you can't, but she never stopped trying. Which is, you know, even that gives me chills because she just wanted to save her son and, you know, she couldn't even save herself in the end, which is so unfair. She didn't deserve that, obviously.
Right. And she was actively going against what happened to her. She was really trying to make a difference in her community. And oh my God, like going into prisons and reaching out to incarcerated individuals that could benefit or have peace from Absolutely. Religion, like that's beautiful.
A very selfless thing to do.
Absolutely.
So, and I'm sure she wasn't getting paid for all of that.
Oh God, no way.
That's like just getting paid by the word of God, you know? Which is something I respect about people who are very religious and do go around and talk like to better the community. Because they're usually not getting paid for that. That's their own time.
Right, and they're practicing what they preach too, which also I feel like is not very common. Like it's not an easy thing to do.
Right.
Where you are putting your beliefs and your words into action. I think that more people who have those beliefs should be doing that.
Yeah.
But she just sounds like a wonderful lady. And it's always so shitty that most of the people we talk about are genuinely good people.
Yeah. She definitely was. Immediately following her murder, the public actually pointed an angry finger at a local newspaper, the South Coast Today. They believed that it was their fault Bernadette was killed because 4 days earlier, when her son was charged with murder, the newspaper published her address. The thing is that her son didn't live with her anymore. So why was she connected to that case 4 days earlier?
Shit.
Which also made the, you know, public say, okay, was that the key to her being shot? Because clearly, like, what is a way you get back at someone who killed your buddy or whatever? You kill someone that they love. Finding their mom's address was, like, so easy. That's perfect.
It was like it was handed to them on a silver platter.
Right. So that's what they believed. Of course, you know, South Coast Today did have this big post that was like, no, we didn't do that. I can only say so much. I didn't see the original article where their address was placed. I think ultimately there probably was going to be retaliation regardless somehow. And it just happened to be convenient for them that it was Bernadette. Regardless, police believe that Bernadette's murder was an act of retaliation for her son's crimes. He was actually, in fact, a known member of a gang, and we often say, like, oh, these people, the police jumped to that conclusion. Crunchy DePina, as he liked to be called, he was part of the gang. The timeline of his murder and then her murder is not a coincidence. You know, him committing a murder and then she's dead. That's, I mean, let's be real. That's pretty obvious. To this day, Bernadette's murder remains unsolved. And the worst part is I don't have a number for you. There's nothing. So I look for them, but sometimes you just, if they don't provide them in these articles, you just cannot find it. Like the right person to call.
Wow. This was in New Bedford?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. So I guess if anyone knows anything,
call the New Bedford police.
Call the New Bedford, I guess, yeah.
You know, if you were around in that area, you knew anyone in that area, that community, I gave the street, you know, in 2006, it'd be worth it to chat with them. I think, you know, it's very obvious what happened, but regardless, those people who did kill her or a person, they are not being held accountable. And they should be because they killed a wonderful, friendly, God-fearing woman who literally only wanted to do good.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it just was so unfortunate because she did everything right. And her son, you know, took a path and that's unfortunate. And as a result, most likely she was killed.
Wow.
Yeah. And she's so cute, too. Like, she looks like such a, such a church mom. Like, she's so cute.
Oh. And I think the worst part, too, is that she probably forgives the people that shot her. Like, she really probably does. She probably doesn't hold any resentment towards them. Like, I think genuinely she's looking down on them like, I wish you were loved.
I know. If she is in a place, you know, that can be debated and we're not going to go into that. I would wholeheartedly agree because she's not, if it was like her friend's, you know, son or whatever, she would be saying exactly what you just said. Mm-hmm. Like, you're okay. Forgive them. They're our children. So it's tragic. And that is the awful retaliation murder of Bernadette DePina, a lovely woman who was well-loved in her community and her family, her husband. There was all these quotes about how wonderful she was, all her friends. So it's just tragic.
Wow.
I know.
Bernadette and Benin. Yeah. The two ladies from Massachusetts.
Yeah. It's awful stuff. Guys, we want to know what you think. We want to know what cases you have. We are always open to suggestions for case profiles. Regular cases too, but case profiles especially. There are slim pickings and we do not want to stop this series. And we will do anything to keep telling these stories.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said at the beginning, however we can do it, full episode, case profile, or a post on our Instagram or our website, we will get it done and the story will get out there.
Yeah, email us, truecrimene@gmail.com, our Instagram, truecrimene, all lowercase, our website submission tool at truecrimene.com under our contact us page. You can even be anonymous that way too. So if it was someone that you know, and if it was something that maybe was a little suspicious and you don't want us mentioning your name on here, that is a good way to be anonymous and suggest these cases to us. But we genuinely will take anything. If you feel like it's not enough information, there's one article with a paragraph, we don't care. Send it our way. You would be surprised what we're able to dig around and find out. And you'd also be surprised what we are able to accomplish with just a little bit of information.
Very true.
Which is kind of how this mini episode thing came to be.
Yes.
So do not hesitate. And yeah, just give us anything you got. We will take it and we will always do our best.
Absolutely. Well said, Katie.
Thank you.
And with that, we'll see you on Thursday.
Bye.
Goodbye. Thank you.